This is 89.1 WEMU, and a good Thursday to you. I'm David Fair, and that theme, it's your cue. It's time to talk all things movies. We call it Cinema Chat. Shan, my ongoing co-host, is Nick Aldrink from Marquee Arts, and always good to see you, Nick.
It's great to be back.
You look a little more rested than you have in the past couple of weeks. How did the Cinetopia Film Festival go?
It went really well. We had a great attendance all 4 days of the festival. Really great response from attendees in the films that they saw, and really great response from the filmmakers as well. They really appreciated the Q&As and meeting people of Ann Arbor.
And were they as actively engaged as we have seen in past
years?
I love when that happens.
Yeah, and they were seeing movies. There was the director, David Shadrach Smith, from his documentary Public Access. He was around the entire festival. There are certain filmmakers that they come for their screenings and they disappear.
And then they go, right.
And then you never see them again. But there are a lot of filmmakers that were actually participating in the viewing experience as well. And it was a very wonderful thing to see.
So it sounds like there was a lot of room for creative energy that was shared all the way around.
That's right, yeah.
I love that. Now, did the Cinetopia Film Festival do well enough? Will we have one in 2027?
Oh, definitely. We'll have one in 2027. We've taken a few notes on things to do better next year, and it's onwards and upwards for Cinetopia.
Well, we'll look forward to that. And, of course, we'll be talking about it then, or somebody will be talking about it then. We'll look forward to that. Well, let's talk about moving forward right now. There are some movies opening this week that I'm quite positive folks are going to be interested.
That's right. Yeah. One is called I Love Boosters, and this opens tonight in multiplexes and at our state theater. This is about a group of shoplifters who take aim at a cutthroat fashion maven by stealing her clothes and reselling them at a lower price, what they call fashion forward philanthropy. And this is from writer-director Boots Riley, who made a really great film a handful of years ago called Sorry to Bother You, and it stars Kiki Palmer, Lakeith Stanfield, Taylor Page, Demi Moore, and Don Cheadle.
Interesting. I don't know that I've heard shoplifters referenced as boosters before, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
fits right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And The Mandalorian and the Grogu. I imagine this has probably got a built-in audience.
That's right. This is, of course, the hit Mandalorian and Grogu Star Wars TV show on the big screen tonight in multiplexes and at the State Theater as well. Once a lone bounty hunter, Mandalorian Din Djarin and his apprentice Grogu embark on an exciting new Star Wars adventure. And this is from writer-director Jon Favreau. And you got Pedro Pascal and Sigourney Weaver, as well as featuring Jeremy Allen White and Martin Scorsese in a voice role in this film.
Well, you know my sentiments on the whole Star Wars thing, right? So I don't know, and I'm asking this from a genuine place. Mm-hmm. Is this a live-action TV show, or is it's not animated?
No, right? Live-action. Of course, there are CGI elements to it. Grogu himself is a puppet in most ways. But live-action Star Wars back on the big screen.
There's an entire community of Star Wars fans yelling at the radio right now, and I apologize. I do apologize. Taking us from other worlds to The Sheep Detectives, what could that possibly be about?
Yeah, this one has been out in theaters for a few weeks, but we're bringing it to the Michigan now, starting tomorrow. It's about every night a shepherd reads aloud a murder mystery, pretending his sheep can understand, but when he is found dead, the sheep realize at once that it is a murder, and they think they know about how to go about solving it. And you got Hugh Jackman and Emma Thompson in live-action roles, and then a voice cast of Brett Goldstein, Patrick Stewart, Regina Hall, Chris O'Dowd, Bryan Cranston, and Julie Louis-Dreyfus, among many others.
There was a time when they tried this mix of live-action and animation where it really didn't work. They've gotten so good at it.
Well, this is actually their live sheep, and they're just voicing the sheep. So it is an all-live-action film. As far as I think there might be some CGI animated elements.
I want to talk to the director of the film. Yeah. How do you get the best performance possible out of a live sheep?
That's a trade secret,
like an accomplishment. And keeping with the animal theme, what's Blue Heron?
Blue Heron opens for select screenings beginning Saturday at the Michigan. It's set in the late 1990s, where 8-year-old Sasha and her family relocate to a new home on Vancouver Island, but their fresh start is interrupted by increasingly dangerous behavior from the eldest son, Jeremy, and at wit's end, their parents are presented with a shattering choice.
Well, that wasn't going where I thought at all.
No. This is a feature debut from Sophie Ramvari, who has made her way in short film. And it's a magical, or it's a languid summer and summer film. Yeah.
So there's some alternatives about films that you and TV shows on the big screen that you haven't had the opportunity to see before, but there are some maybe you have seen before and need to see again on that spectacular screen at the Michigan Theater or at the State Theater. Late Night Classic Series continues with a 1962 classic.
Yeah, we're playing with samurai films in late nights at the end of the month here. And Harakiri from 1962 plays tonight at 8 o'clock at the Michigan when a ronin requesting seppuku at a feudal lord's palace is told of the brutal suicide of another ronin who previously visited. He reveals how their pasts are intertwined, and in doing so challenges the clan's integrity.
And the fact that this is a film that continues to make the circuit and was made in 1962 tells you the kind of quality that it brings to the screen. Lady Snowblood, I'm not at all familiar with this.
So this is a 1973 film that'll be playing tomorrow at 9:30 at the Michigan. This is about a woman is raised from birth for one terrible and vengeful purpose: to murder those who abused her mother and left her to rot in a woman's prison where she died in childbirth. And this is Kill Bill was very much influenced by Lady Snowblood.
Gotcha.
So it's very much in a similar vein there.
Kind of dark content.
Yeah. But very high quality action sequences in both those films there.
And to return us to worlds and other places in a galaxy not so far away.
Yeah. So we're also at the end of the month here. We're showing films that inspired Star Wars. We, of course, have Mandalorian and Grogu out in theaters. And next year will be the 50th anniversary. So we're looking back on a short retrospective here. We're playing Jason and the Argonauts from 1963. That'll be this Saturday at 1:30 at the Michigan. This is the legendary Greek hero leads a team of intrepid adventurers in a perilous quest for the legendary Golden Fleece. And this is from director John Chafee and with stop motion effects from Ray Harryhausen, which ended up being a huge influence on making Star Wars and, of course, the hero's journey that George Lucas really took off from there.
I'm quite certain I've never seen this particular film, but the name sounds so familiar. Did it ever turn into a TV show, or was it remade at some point?
It was one of those films that I think was not well received when it first came out, but was regarded as a cult classic, mostly for the special effects, the stop motion effects in it. And I think it probably played on TV quite a lot in this time as well.
There's another classic from the East that is going to make its way to the big screen, and it's called Hidden Fortress.
Yeah, this will be playing Saturday at 4:30. Lured by gold, two greedy peasants unknowingly escort a princess and her general across enemy lines. And this is from writer-director Akira Kurosawa and starring Toshiro Mifune. And when you talk about films that inspired Star Wars, this film is often at the very top of the list. Of course, it's a samurai film, which George Lucas took inspiration for his Jedi. But in telling this story through two greedy peasants kind of mirrors how the original film opens with the two robot, the droid C-3PO and R2-D2. And of course, the plot is very similar.
Everything
as well.
Is connected, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it all seems to come to Star Wars at some point. Driving me nuts. Well, back when I used to have cable, a film that was on all the time.
Yeah.
Couldn't miss it. Was this movie called Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for it.
Yeah. This came out in 1968, playing this Sunday at 1:30 at the Michigan. This is about a mysterious stranger with a harmonica who teams up with a notorious desperado to protect a beautiful widow and her land from a ruthless assassin in the employ of a railroad tycoon. And this is from director Sergio Leone and starring Henry Fonda, Charles Bronson, and Claudia Cardinale.
They don't make them like Charles Bronson
anymore.
No,
that's right. And this is just one of those great classic westerns, which, again, going back to Star Wars, that's the desert planet. You know, Star Wars is so many things. It's swashbuckling adventure. It's a samurai film. It's a western. And I think that's essentially why it became such a big hit, because it's a new sci-fi story, but baked with all this nostalgia in it as well.
So, keeping with the Star Wars theme, there's a George Lucas film that has nothing to do with space, but you're going to play that too.
Yeah, 1973's American Graffiti will play Sunday at 6. This is about a group of teenagers in California's Central Valley who spend one final night after their 1962 high school graduation cruising the strip with their buddies before they pursue their varying goals. From writer-director George Lucas and starring Richard Dreyfuss, Ron Howard, Mackenzie Phillips, Cindy Williams, and featuring Harrison Ford in a very young role. So this gave George Lucas his big start. It was nominated for Best Picture, amongst other things. And not only did it lead the way for Star Wars, but Happy Days. Happy Days came from this as well.
Yeah, Ron Howard made his way, and it did kind of set the stage for that kind of nostalgia, even though it was only the 70s.
Yeah.
The 50s hit big.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, 12 O'Clock High is playing as well.
Yeah, on Memorial Day, Monday, May 25th, veterans and active duty service members attend for free at both the Michigan State Theater. Really terrific World War II film starring Gregory Peck. And then in our Art House Revival series, Tuesday, we'll be playing Grey Gardens from 1975.
And the members picked this one, right?
Yeah, and the members picked this one to conclude our documentary theme.
Very good. And movies continuing, if we missed them before?
Yeah, Devil Wears Prada 2 and Project Hail Mary, they are continuing at the State.
Nick, thank you so much. Always enjoy your company. Always enjoy the conversation. I'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Thank you so much, David.
That is Nick Alderink. He is the Cinema Programming Manager at Marquee Arts and my co-host for this segment we call Cinema Chat. Thanks for tuning in today. Please join us again next week here on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU, Ypsilanti.